The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
To celebrate 21 years of the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary, a month-long celebration is taking place. Loads of events, and one of the events is happening on Sunday, and it will feature a special reading of a book called The President's Letters, An Unexpected History of Ireland. It features a wealth of letters to and from our nine presidents from 1938 to the present day. One of the contributors to the book is the former Irish diplomat Rory Montgomery, and Rory's with me now. Rory, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Great to be here.
We were talking during the break about the book and what a delight it is. You just open it at random anywhere and you'll find a curiosity.
Well, that's right. Absolutely. I mean, it was put together by Flora McCarthy, who's the editor, and she did all the work basically in sourcing these letters and going through the archives and in copying them. And what makes it really remarkable is that you see the actual letters themselves, handwritten letters, letters from children in sort of childish scrawls, telegrams from Franco or Eisenhower, whoever it might be. So it is, as you say, a treasure trove. There's a fantastic variety. But she asked 11 of us to write short little introductions to on different themes. So I wrote the section on international relations, but, you know, David McCullough has written about politics, Martina Devlin about Northern Ireland, and many others as well.
Now, part of your brief, therefore, is the kind of things that presidents might be allowed to write to foreign leaders or not, because the president really has to reflect the government of the day's view.
Well, absolutely. And I think a very clear example of that comes in relation to Tibet. In 1960, there's a letter from Eamon de Valera to the Dalai Lama expressing, you know, support and concern. Ireland didn't have diplomatic relations with China at that time. And then 25 years later, we find a letter from the Department of the Taoiseach conveying the advice of the Department of Foreign Affairs that the president should not reply to a letter from Tibet because, of course, of Chinese sensitivities. But at times, presidents do things which, of course, governments don't want them to do. And one thing which features in this book is Mary Robinson's visit to Belfast in 1993, where she shook Jerry Adams's hand. And the British government had effectively protested about the visit in advance to the Irish government. And there's a letter in the book from Albert Reynolds, essentially, you know, not specifically asking her not to go, but basically advising her not to go. And she, of course, disregarded that.
Now, the book is very much a picture book, it has to be said, and opening it at random, page 202, and there's a picture of Sean T. O'Kelly in Hollywood with Walt Disney. And on the opposite page, there's a picture of Wrongway Corrigan, the man who claimed he was actually going west, but in fact he crossed the Atlantic and he became known as Wrongway Corrigan. He did it quite deliberately, but he pretended he got lost.
Well, that's right. I mean, the Wrongway Corrigan, as it says here in the book, actually called them on Douglas Hyde. It's a rather unlikely combination, if you like, Douglas Hyde being a very retiring scholar of the Irish language. And yeah, Sean T. O'Kelly was actually the first Irish president to go on an official visit to the US, and that was in 1959. And as you say, he went all over. He met Eisenhower, and he seems to have made a great hit wherever he went. He then, as I say, later on, he met back in Dublin, he met Walt Disney and Sean Connery and others who were performers in this film, which I remember as a kid, Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
That's right, Darby O'Gill, and they came over, and there's a very young Sean Connery in that shot.
That's right, that's right.
You know, he's lots of hair, which he didn't have in his later years starring in movies. Now, some of the controversies, for example, Dev went to commiserate with the Germans at the consulate in Dublin over the death of Adolf Hitler, and that caused a mighty stir.
Well, it caused a mighty stir in a lot of places, and above all in Britain and in the US. And in the book, there's a letter from an Irish-American woman, Esther Hagen Taylor, of Washington, D.C., to, again, the unfortunate Douglas Hyde, who is described in her letter as chief executive of the Irish Republic, which, of course, he wasn't. But she is very angry. Things must have undergone drastic change since my grandmother left Ireland. Since the assumption of the premiership by a non-Irish Brooklyn boy with the Spanish, brackets Franco, name, who placed Irish foreign policy solidly in partnership with the German forces of paganism and destruction, I can only hazard a guess as to the present composition of the Irish government. And she asks a whole range of questions, including, will there be a little three dictatorship alliance by Portugal, Spain and Ireland? And then she finally asks, will the Irish swastika still be flying over the historic land of the Shamrock? So she was pretty angry. However, in a good bureaucratic way, someone in the president's office has simply written a single word, ignore, in the top right-hand corner. So I don't suppose she got a reply.
She didn't get a reply. And for example, when Muammar Gaddafi writes, the president is instructed not to reply.
Well, that's right. It was a sort of a New Year's greetings, although what is described in the translation of Gaddafi's letter to Patrick Hillary as the coming of a new Christ year and the end of 1985 years since Jesus Christ's birth. He goes on at some length, but he gets more and more hostile, not to Ireland specifically, but to Christians in general. He said, it is you who threaten peace, because hatred is embodied in you. And you know, other strong words. And again, there's a letter, and I well remember writing this kind of letter myself. There's a letter from a former colleague of mine in foreign affairs, Anne Barrington, simply saying, we would not advise that the president reply directly to this communication. And I'm sure, again, that advice was taken.
Now, there are some very nice moments, light moments. For example, Princess Grace writing to thank the president for a gift of a pony, Babbling Brook.
That's right.
For their children, Caroline and Albert.
Yes, exactly. Well, you have a handwritten letter from Grace, and then a very small little card with childish scrawl, Dear Sir, Thank You, Love, Caroline. But then, maybe surprisingly, you see De Valera's reply as well. And he says, My dear Princess, your very nice letter has come to me. I'm delighted that you like Babbling Brook. As you are fond of her, she will grow very fond of you. When you get more used to her and have more practice, you can ride her over jumps. And sometimes when you're grown up, you may ride across our country here and jump our great big fences. Slán leat, this is the Irish for goodbye. Lucian, with love, Eamon de Valera. And there are other lovely letters in the book. There's one great one from a boy, Shane Doyle, to President Hillary, asking him to outlaw school. And Hillary replies that he fully understands why Shane might want school to be outlawed. He felt the same way himself quite often, but he didn't think it was probably possible.
And now there's also a picture supplied by Monaco, I believe, of the pony arriving at the Royal Palace, and that's included there as well. Now, the letter from the Defence Minister, Paddy Donegan, to President Carúlo Dóigh, where he had made a speech and probably was not expecting it to be reported, but it was, where he allegedly referred to the president as a thundering disgrace. Now, many people over the years have speculated that thundering was not the word that he used. But anyway, that's how it was reported. And he did apologise then, but it was too late.
Well, exactly. I mean, the apology was sort of dragged out of him, if you like. I think O'Dowley probably felt, and in terms of constitutional convention, probably correctly, that he should have resigned, or should have been asked for his resignation by Liam Cosgrave as Taoiseach. What O'Dowley had done was to refer the Offences Against the State Act to the Supreme Court, as he was entitled to do. And certainly, Donegan's letter, I mean, it's not exactly a wholehearted apology. Just to read one line of it, I fully accept that the gravamen of my utterance was contained in the words you quote in the last two lines of the first page of your letter. It's not exactly heartfelt, is it?
No, it's not heartfelt at all. Now, other glamorous occasions, the Kennedys and Dev.
Of course. I mean, there was the famous visit of JFK, of course, in June 1963. But very touchingly, there's a long letter from January 1964. So, in other words, just
after the assassination.
Just literally 2 months after the assassination. And it's a four-page handwritten letter from Jacqueline Kennedy to President De Valera, and thanking him so much for receiving JFK as president, how much the trip meant to him. And then, indeed, also talking about a pony, another pony, which had gone to Caroline in this case. So a really lovely letter. And of course, De Valera personally, despite his age and infirmity, went to the president's funeral in Washington in November 63. And of course, a group of Irish cadets were also involved in offering official honours at that funeral.
Now, as I say, you can open it pretty much any page and you'll find a curiosity. And this one here on page 278, which I'm looking at, and it's a letter from Frank MacDonald, who was the environment editor of the Irish Times, congratulating President-elect Mary Robinson on her election win in 1990. But the PS is fascinating. I'm enclosing a copy of an article I wrote on the Auris last March. Whatever you do, keep the 50s powder room. And there's a picture of the 50s, the 1950s ladies powder room in the Auris. I don't know whether it's still there or not.
Well, of course, I mean, as a male visitor to the Auris, I've
never
had occasion to visit the ladies' powder room. I do notice, though, in the same letter, Pat, that he does say that when he heard on the Pat Kenny radio programme that the boxes from Kilronan gave her the most votes, he almost cried. So clearly you were bringing good news to some of the people of the country, at least on that morning.
Other people who just pop in for a moment, if you like, in the pages of the book. Monty Montgomery.
That's right.
He wanted to meet Dev.
Yes, no relation of mine, I have to say. That was something I was always asked as a kid. No, he was coming to Ireland in August, in September 67. And he was going to the wedding of a young friend of his, marrying a Dublin girl, Miss Chance. The daughter of Arthur Chance of 90 Merrion Square, who I think was a very famous surgeon in Dublin at the time. So he said he would very much like to pay my respects to Your Excellency and hear your views on what is going on in the world today, which is not good. I would stay in the Russell Hotel. And Montgomery, of course, had Irish connections. His father was a bishop in Ireland, and, you know, like many British officers in the war, he was from, had Irish connections, like I say. And they did meet, and the note says, but what views they actually exchanged, I don't know. But I think Montgomery was rather dismal in his perceptions of progress. I don't think he felt that what was going on was, in general, a good thing. Change was bad.
Now, there's one fragment that is in this book, which is very, very interesting. And that is the back of an envelope. And it was handwritten by Mary McAleese, President McAleese. And it was a very important thing for HMQE2, Queen Elizabeth II.
Yes, absolutely. Well, everyone remembers, of course, the Queen's wonderful visit to Ireland in May 2011 and a hugely important moment in British-Irish relations and, in a way, a high point from which we've fallen, unfortunately, in the last few years. But as you remember, at the state dinner, she began her speech, her toast, with a few words in Irish. And President McAleese wrote on a little strip of paper a phonetic version of what she should say. So phonetically, a uk tar on agus a hardia. Hardy being spelled H-A-R-D-J-E. Yeah. And Queen Elizabeth, as we know, mastered it completely and brought the house down.
Absolutely. Well, it's a terrific book. It's presumably in every good bookshop, published by New Island Books. It was put together by Flora McCarthy and a number of contributors to the book, writing essays to accompany the many pictures and the letters, including our guest, former Irish diplomat, Rory Montgomery. Rory, thank you very much for joining us on the programme today.
Thank you, Pat. It's great. Thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.